Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. It is I, Puma, along with Ice Water. We just filmed the first 40 for the new year. We'll be putting that out pretty soon. Ice Water, how you doing, man? And he dropped the call. So we're going to talk a little bit while we get Ice Water back on the air. We're going to talk a little bit about NBA basketball. It's coming to the midway point of the season, and a lot of things are happening. We talked about it in the first 40. We're also going to talk some NCAA basketball. Every time you are following a team and you seem like it seems like that team is going to kind of take hold and kind of run with it, it just doesn't happen. And so and teams that I thought were kind of out of it are kind of making a comeback. I'm looking at the scoreboard, and Seton Hall beat Butler, number five Butler. Then you had Duke going down yesterday. You have teams like Indiana who play really well, lose to Rutgers in the Big Ten. So Ice Water, I'm going to start out by talking NCAA basketball, man. Give me your eye test, man, on NCAA basketball. It seems like Gonzaga is holding on to that number one spot, and I don't see them losing it unless somebody out of their conference upsets them. But give me some of your eye test about NCAA basketball, man.
Yeah, it's wide open. I can tell you that much. I was looking at some other things, and as I'm looking at the schedules, and you're like, wow, in the standings, this team lost, this team wins, this team loses. I look at the Ohio State Buckeyes, who lost four straight before they won versus Nebraska. Nebraska has upset some people. Let's get to this point, though. Clemson defeats a so-called untalented team by Roy Williams, and then they beat Duke. It's interesting there. And Duke is preparing to face Louisville. And the other things people need, I mentioned to you earlier, Alabama is now, I'm not Alabama, I'm going to say Auburn is now number four. Ironic. Butler, before their loss tonight, was number five. San Diego State is number seven. They play Nevada coming up. Should be an easy win, though. And another one of my sleepers, Florida State is number nine now, 14-2.
Right.
So it's amazing, and look at teams like Wisconsin that really were supposed to be more or less like in a rebuilding year. They upset Ohio State, and then they also take down Maryland. This is a topsy-turvy, week-to-week type of a scenario, and perhaps later on in the season, the hottest team may win the tournament. And then may not win it because there might just be tough going all the way through. I think this is going to be an outstanding, great tournament. I can't wait to watch.
Now, as we're talking, I'm looking at the scoreboard. You have Florida State beating Virginia. 54-50. And so they're still ranked number 9. You have Auburn down 9 points to Alabama at the half, and they're ranked number 4. So it's like I was ready to brag on Auburn because one of the questions that I'm going to ask later in the show is surprising stories or things that you didn't see coming in 2019. And I have a couple of sports stories or sports events that I'm going to put out there. But it seems like when you're kind of rolling with a team, it seems like that team the following week or 2 weeks drops a game that they're not supposed to drop against an opponent that you think that they can easily win. I was bragging on Ohio State for the last 2 years, like they're coming. And they dropped 4 straight. And so I'm like, what team, when you watch, I know when I watch Ohio State, it's like, which team is coming to play tonight? Is it the hard-nosed defensive team that can go out and go after you, or is it the passive team that, hey, we don't feel like playing tonight? Dayton, we saw them earlier. We talked about them earlier, later last year, at the end of the year, and now they're ranked in the top 25. They're ranked number 13. Michigan State started off the year ranked number 1. They're ranked number 15. I never thought I would see Wichita State get back in the mix, but they're in the mix. Of course, we knew about Maryland. I thought Seton Hall, to me, they shouldn't have lost 4 games. But just when I'm thinking, okay, let me put the clamps on Seton Hall, they come out and beat a team like they did tonight and Butler, which has quietly moved up into the 5th spot, and they take them down. So it just makes you kind of wonder. Who's been very quiet this week is Kansas. I haven't heard, and they play Texas Saturday, but, you know, you're not hearing too much about them. Kentucky is a team that's still in the top 10. Louisville, still a team in the top 25, ranked number 11. I didn't see West Virginia coming out of getting in the top 25, but they're ranked. So, to me, it's like all these teams that you think that might just take the mantle and just run with it, or take the torch and run with it. They always have these slip-ups this season, and this is more than usual. This is more than usual. We should be at the time in the season, Ice, where you have at least a solid 3 to 5 teams that you could say, okay, I can see this team being the number 1 seed going in the tournament. But I tell you, bro, I can't call it right now. I cannot call it right now. What's your other views about what's happening in this college season?
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but that's a good thing, I think, because now it's showing you there's no true dominant teams. I think we're so accustomed to putting a team at the very top early, a la Duke last couple of seasons because of their talent, or when Kentucky has a great freshman class, we want to put them right there. And this year is totally different. You mentioned about Auburn. It is halftime, bro. Relax. It is halftime. Relax. We'll see at the end of it. Relax. But I do agree with what you're saying. I think there's a lot of I wouldn't say there's a lot of parity. I think there's a lot of great talent. And normally we want to see one or two teams. Can they run the table? And can they be that dominant team? For the record, ladies and gentlemen, this is 1976, not 1976. I know I'm dating myself. This is not Bobby Knight, and this team goes undefeated. Y'all might have to Google that for those that are younger. But just the whole point of it is, I think this is what makes college basketball even greater, because now we're seeing that anybody at any time can get hot. Before, you would say if San Diego State was undefeated, you wouldn't really give them much of a chance. But now that the Gonzagas of the world have made their moves, and you saw Davidson doing some things, you almost have to at least give them a little credence as to you never know what can happen. So I think this tournament, we're getting a preview of the tournament already. How about that? First,
we
thought it was a fluke.
Yeah, we truly are.
But then, yeah. But you look at that, you look at teams that have won, like, you know, Michigan comes up, they won the Bahamas trophy by winning, beating some very decent teams. And then now Michigan can't get out of his own way. It's a lot of ups and downs and topsy-turvy type of situations. You mentioned Ohio State. As I mentioned to you before, the biggest issue is the fact that besides Caleb Wesson, and he struggles at times, they don't have a consistent score. Who's the go-to guy? So that can be an issue. But I love it. You just never know. I watched the other night was the Syracuse team that's supposedly not that good put it on Virginia. So
yeah,
it's a lot going on. So I like it. I love it. I think guys are playing hard, and it makes for great viewing, and it makes for it's going to make more money for the NCAA when it comes March Madness time.
And that's all that counts as far as they're concerned. I'm going to brag on Baylor. Very impressive team, Baylor. I'm very impressed with Maryland, too, even though they slipped in the ranks a couple of slots. I'm very impressed with them. I've always been impressed with Seton Hall, but it seems like if McKnight or Powell can't get it going that night, it seems that they don't have another player that could step it up. And those are two guards that are fearless when it comes to playing college basketball. A team that I haven't heard too much about is Marquette. That was in the mix last year. But I'm still watching Louisville, man, to see if they are who they say they are. I'm still watching them. And it just seems like Gonzaga's going to go into, if they don't have any slip-ups, which next week we could be saying something different, if they don't have any slip-ups, they're going to remain number one going right into the tournament. And that is going to get them a number one seed. Whether they have the overall number one, who knows? It depends on the other teams that kind of step up and play out the season. But it's really exciting, but it's going to tear up a whole lot of brackets this coming season, because you cannot rely on what teams are going to do. I'm watching Providence. Providence popped a lot of teams, good teams this year, and they're not in the top 25, but they've beaten the likes of Georgetown. They're giving it to St. John's right now. They're beating a lot of teams in the Big East. So it's just hard to say, and it's kind of hard to figure out. Now, before I go into NBA basketball, I wanted to kind of put this question out to you. And I have a few things that happened, or sporting events that happened in 2019. But what were the surprising stories of 2019 or that you didn't see coming in 2019, or disappointing games, or some triumphs in 2019, kind of like a year in review? So do you want me to go first, or would you like me to go first and give you one of the things that really kind of I remembered of 2019?
You can go first, and however you want to do it, brother. I'm right here.
Oh,
you can go
okay.
first.
So I'll mention the first story that I want to put out there is it's relating to college basketball and Virginia winning the national championship. And I felt that this story and the way Virginia won it, they shouldn't have been there. That was Auburn's all the way. And I felt like Auburn was kind of cheated out of that. And it made me think about this because we talk about integrity in sports. And so when you have teams, none of these teams, Auburn and Virginia are not my team. But if I'm going to sit down and try to enjoy a game and enjoy a national championship or enjoy the tournament, I'm expecting that the play calling, not the play calling, but the referees call a fair game. And that national championship bothered me. It even bothered Virginia fans who I've known for years who were bragging about Virginia up until the game against Auburn, who said, you know what, Virginia didn't deserve to be there. They were honest enough to tell me that. And it just seemed like an empty championship, them winning a national championship. Don't get me wrong. I thought Virginia was one of the top teams in college basketball last year. But the way those games ended and how it kind of just panned out, it seemed like they really didn't earn that national championship. What are your thoughts about that?
I can see that point. But you can only play the game. You got to move forward. You got to play the game. I mean, a lot of times you think bad calls and it's not fair. Kind of sound like a college football semifinal game. Anyway, but we're going to move on. Yeah, sorry, Duncan.
Touche.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But no, I could see that point in that regard. But at the end, it is what it is. You have to move forward. But it is a shame, I think, overall, when people feel, and particularly when it's clear that the referees had a hand in the decision of a contest, because teams play real hard and they work real hard, and to be slighted like that, shorted, says a lot, and it's tough. But you know, that's the part. Unfortunately, that's the human element. I think my biggest problem is the fact that when you have the replay in front of you, and the same thing you said about basketball, the replay is in front of you, and they still make the wrong call. What is the purpose of having that place, that those folks in a secluded area that really can look it over and tell them what's wrong? What's the purpose of that when everybody misses it? I don't get that. And I think that they spend a lot of money, and they're supposed to get it right. And sometimes they don't, but that, I guess that's still human nature.
Yeah, because my thing is that you got the players who work hard. You got the coaches that work hard. You make sacrifices to get to that point. Is it too much to ask that the integrity of the game stay intact so that the best team wins, the best man wins? And I think that's missing in a lot of sports, not in college basketball. But it was so glaring. Just like the Ohio State, I agree. I thought that was a touchdown. I thought that was a turnover touchdown. Is it too much to ask the integrity of the game be intact and that the referees step up and do their best job and use all the technology they can to make sure things are right, to make sure things are right? If Virginia won square up and they won, it wouldn't bother me. But it bothered me so much that they didn't earn it. They didn't earn it. And there you have a team there who worked so hard, and they actually would have won that game. And they were cheated out of it for whatever reason. All right, go to one of your stories, man.
Yeah, I have to say, and even though it's probably apparent, but the Toronto Raptors winning the championship in the NBA.
Yes.
I just did not see that. That was kind of unprecedented. A lot of things had to work his way. But what it showed me is how much of a leader Kawhi Leonard was. Could you go from working with a team, with a young team, or some veterans, but then a young coach, and just through him putting his stamp in the leadership, even though they kind of got away with they were, they got lucky maybe a couple times, and they played an injured Golden State team, just his leadership showed me that he should be considered one of the best today and maybe down the line, but definitely it showed me how great of a player and a leader he is.
Yeah, I was really I was kind of upset that he left San Antonio and the way he left San Antonio. And I got to admit, I was hating on Kawhi Leonard when he left. And I'm like, he ain't going to do nothing in Toronto. But the way he came out and played, and he just put them on his shoulders. And he willed that team to not only winning the Eastern Conference, but winning a championship. And I take nothing from him. He did it his way. He did a one and done. And he's playing where he wants to play. And so I think he earned that right for a player that, you know, Popovich had groomed over the years as a championship caliber player, one of the best players in the league, unsung best player in the league. And he did it his way. So I have nothing but respect and admiration for him. Maybe if San Antonio would have listened to him, maybe that would have been San Antonio's ring for last year, but they didn't. And to the victors go the spoils. But I thought that was a courageous effort for him, and nothing but luck for him in the future. My next story that really bothered me is because when you are sitting all day waiting for a Super Bowl and waiting for last year's Super Bowl and the game that happened last year, and it was like one of the worst played Super Bowls that I've ever seen. And I pretty much am young enough to say I've seen just about all of them. I'm old enough to say I've seen just about all of them. But what bothered me about the 2019 Super Bowl is the disappointing performance from the L.A. Rams. Here was a team that was supposed to go in and run the ball and pass the ball, and you had this young coach who was the up-and-coming coach and had this team ready, the defense that they had, the team that they put together. They go out to L.A. and become the Rams, and they get to the Super Bowl, and they get spooked by Bill Belichick. So I give nothing but praise to Bill Belichick, but it seemed like the Los Angeles Rams never made the adjustment, and this year didn't even make the playoffs. And it seems like everybody has figured them out. They figured out that Goff is not this elite quarterback and that he didn't have like the Michael's secret stuff to drink and couldn't perform. And he's limited as a player. People were putting him at the elite player, but he is limited as a quarterback. And so that was very disappointing. And how they did it, they realized that he couldn't audible. So they would wait until the mics went out in the helmet and the New England Patriots would change their defense and Goff couldn't adjust. And so it was something simple, but it worked. And it gave Tom Brady another Super Bowl victory. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, what I find ironic, in fact, I was talking to somebody else about this earlier. I can see where you're coming from, how that would be disappointing. But if you're not a Patriot fan and you don't like Tom Brady, you must have been disappointed 3 years in a row or three times in a row. Think about this. The New England Patriots have won three Super Bowls that we thought the other team would win. The Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll are still haunted by the fourth down call, pass the ball, and they felt so bad that they went back and picked up Marshawn Lynch. They should have won that football game. Then you move forward. Atlanta was leading and breezing early in the game versus the Patriots. They got discombobulated in the second half. They lose that game. And then, of course, the last most recent game that you mentioned, the high-powered offense of the Rams coming in, clearly on paper, supposedly the better team than the Patriots. And they scored 3 points. The Patriots defense forced the quarterback to win the game, and he couldn't do that. And they could never make up their mind as to whether or not their running back, Ty Gurley, was healthy or not. And they tried a two running back system, and it hurt them dearly. And unfortunately, their quarterback ends up having tunnel vision with one guy. And it was one of those things. This is how I say it all the time. Patriots are a type of team, especially now with when Tom Brady was on the team. You might be better than they are on paper, but if you don't want it, they'll take it. And that's what they've done the last three times they were in the Super Bowl. Teams didn't want it. It's like, all right, well, we'll
take it.
And that's how it's been. Yeah, that's how it's been. When you go to Edelman, who caught, 15 passes, doing across-the-middle slants, the short little passes, running crazy, and there's no defense adjustment by the Rams. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%, but I'd say not just one, but the last three Super Bowls that the Patriots won have been because the other teams made mistakes and apparently didn't know how to adjust and didn't do enough to win the games.
Okay. Let's go with one more from you, and then we'll take a break and then come back with maybe a couple more. So one more from you right now before I break.
Let's say I was torn between the two, but I'm going to just say the one. I'm not going to lie. The Washington Nationals won the World Series. I've been on them. I've been dogging them, and I've been saying that they weren't making good decisions. And I think they're finally there. I mean, they want to give it up to their manager, Martinez. I think that's fair. He has something to do with it. But I also think that their talent really lived up to its potential. And first of all, because I used to be somewhat of a fan of the Nationals, and I think that's what frustrated me with them, was they never lived up to their potential. You know, and getting rid of Dusty Baker, I felt like it wasn't really his fault. It was the player's fault and whoever else was dealing with. And my perfect example for that is when they first drafted Steven Strasburg. And they used to limit his number of innings that he could pitch. And then after a while, they just let him go. And he's now ended up being one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. But I remember that way back then. It seems so long ago. But that really surprised me because they finally lived up to their potential. And I dogged them. I talked stuff about it. I didn't think they would win. But it's cool that they proved me wrong. And I am one of the biggest proponents of Steven Strasburg, so I was glad to see him win, finally.
Yeah, I mean, the way they won, they came out of nowhere. They were tied as far as record-wise with the Detroit Tigers, and the Detroit Tigers didn't make the playoffs. But something clicked with that team where they just came out of nowhere, and they remained hot all the way up to the World Series. I thought they would cool down once they won the first round, but then negative. They just kept pushing right through. And I was talking to him, and he was like, I think the Nationals are going to do it. I really think they're going to do it. I think they beat the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken. He was like, yeah, they're gonna win it all because the Dodgers don't want it. And so they came from literally from the back of the pack to win. And it was probably one of the most astonishing baseball stories that I've seen in a long, long time. Hopefully they won't come out with some scandal, and we'll talk a little bit about this, where they cheated and won a World Series. Hopefully that's not the case. But it's one of the great baseball stories that I've seen in a long time. Let's take a break, come back, and we'll talk about some more events in 2019 right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Well, all right. Star Child, citizens of the universe, recording angels. We have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Light year groove. Stride and dip in your hip and come on to the mothership.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. It's I, Puma, along with Ice Water. I want to thank Black Dora for hanging out with us in the first 40. He's still trying to get locked down, schedule down. He will be back on the podcast once he locks down his schedule. But you'll see him on the first 40, ladies and ladies who missed him. He's on the first 40, so you can see his mug on YouTube a little later when I do the editing of that tape. But do you have another story about 2019?
Yeah, I guess I mean, so many other ones out there, but I'm going to throw it out there. The Dallas Cowboys missing the playoffs. This is supposed to be the year they were going to make a run. Everything was set up for them. Jason Garrett was enthusiastic about moving this team forward. And picking up Amari Cooper, defense supposed to be together, and they simply couldn't turn the corner. And it really was crazy and unthinkable that they were playing the way that they did. And eventually it pushed them over the brink. And Jerry Jones and his family finally released their favorite son, adopted son, Jason Garrett, and let him go and moved on. So I think that was major.
Surprising. So let's stick with this story for a while. Of course, they got McCarthy as coach now. What do you think about that move? Is he the right coach for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, who knows what the right coach is? I'll just say that there are some more sexier picks. You're in a lot of that. Some people screaming, why would they do that? But a lot of these so-called sexier picks are unproven, and it might take some time. Let's throw it out there. Let's say, for instance, they decide to take a chance and go after somebody like Urban Meyer, right? You bring him to town, he takes the job. It's going to take him 2 to 3 years to kind of get acclimated to that team and the way that they do things in the NFL unless you have some different decent assistants. But McCarthy's ready now. They're ready now. They feel they have that kind of talent. So why would you wait?
Yeah.
He's won a Super Bowl. He's experienced. Is he a recycled, rehashed coach that his time ran out, he ran out his welcome with Aaron Rodgers, perhaps. But right now, Dallas needs some discipline, and it needs some things that are going to happen. It needs somebody that can move the ball, and it needs somebody that understands how to win. McCarthy can do that. He can do that. And I think that's a great starting point. What happens after that, we'll see. They need to make the playoffs, and they need to win a few more games. And what their time is now. So I think it's a decent hire. It's not sexy, but it's decent.
Okay, me and Black were talking about this over the weekend because We were trying to get back on schedule with the show, and you know, me and him were talking. And of course, every time we talk about sports. And he was on, under the impression that this wasn't a good move for the Dallas Cowboys. I, on the other hand, think it's a solid move for them because of this. When McCarthy was in Green Bay, he could never be bigger than Aaron Rodgers. He could never be bigger than Aaron Rodgers. Now that McCarthy's in Dallas, he's the biggest figure in that locker room right now because nobody there has proven anything. Nobody's won a Super Bowl. Nobody is bigger than the coach. So he can dictate what that team does with his authoritative approach, the discipline you said that they lack, he can bring that to them. It seems like Garrett was more of a player coach. McCarthy is like, do this and do it my way and get it done type of coach. And I don't think in the last few years of him being in Green Bay, he was able to do that with Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers had established that he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. It seems like they will say different, but it seems like Aaron Rodgers wasn't really happy with play calling and how things were kind of going. And it seemed like the game had caught up to McCarthy. Maybe he can bring some of that discipline and become that leader that he was when he first got to Green Bay, and then they were kind of stopping folks when they were in the league. So I think it might be a solid move, whether it's a holdover till they get to the next coach that may come and take over. Time will tell. But I thought this was a solid move by the Dallas Cowboys. And we can talk about other coaches later. But I want to get to the other story of 95. Giannis Antetokounmpo winning the MVP I thought was a great move. And not that I'm a James Harden hater, and kind of secretly I am, but I was just sitting here watching Houston and Portland. And I know that we talked about this in the first 40 about kind of not watching the NBA or watching every game because it's either James Harden or LeBron James or somebody, some marquee player. And I want to see other teams, and I don't get to see other teams on ESPN or on TNT. They're always going to have those marquee matchups. But one of the things that and I'm watching college now. One of the things that why I turned from the pro game to college is that I'm tired of James Harden ball hogging the ball. And so when I watch Antetokounmpo, what he did in the MVP season, even though they didn't win a championship, to me, he was the most valuable player. What he's doing with that Milwaukee team is outstanding. And they're leading the league now in wins. And in the Eastern Conference, and we'll talk about that a little later. But I thought that his performance last year and how he's able to take a team like Milwaukee and put them in the map and put them in the mix, and he's still doing it this year. It seemed like every year he's getting better, he's working on his game, and he's moving towards being that complete player. I can't say that about James Harden. So your thoughts about that 2019 moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see why you could say he won. He should have won the MVP. Harden had already been there, and to have Milwaukee in the position that they were in was impressive. I'll give you that. So I don't have a problem with that. My only problem with anything is the fact that they want to put him at this great level. I mean, he's a very talented player, but in order to be great, you got to win championships, bro. You got to win. And not saying that's it. Because there's some other great players who have not won championships. So, Karl Malone, anyway, Stockton, other folks. But to do that, I think that would put him over the top. And for me, if he was able to kind of lead a team like Milwaukee with all his talent. And I think that's part of learning. He's getting better. He's passing the ball. But I still think he has some things to learn. And I think, too, that no matter how much you talk about him, I think they're – Milwaukee still needs to surround him with some better players. They lost some key players. Like, they lost Brogdon. They lost some other folks that really, I think, if they stayed together as a unit, could really have done some damage. But, you know, Greek Freak might still get it done anyway. And he has gotten better. But I just question whether or not the Lopez brothers are going to be enough to help you win the championship. But that still does not take away from how talented he is.
Yeah, I wonder that, too. But, yeah, he's so talented, and he's so hungry. that you got to, even if that's not your team that you root for, you got to root for a player. And I've had a lot of favorite teams in the NBA. I had like one or two favorite teams in the NBA. But, you know, when you got players like that, you want to root for them. I can remember back in the day, you know, when the Lakers were doing their thing, Magic Johnson was – the Lakers weren't my team, but Magic was like a favorite player I like to watch. Like I said, Knicks fan, but watching Dr. J with the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Nets, that was one of favorite players you like to watch. Tiny Archibald from Boston, not a Boston fan. George Gervin, not a San Antonio fan, but it's just players that you gravitate towards, and you watch the greatness of these players. Even though that's not your team, you can appreciate the greatness of these players. Another question.
Let's see. One other question. The Cleveland Browns hiring Freddie Kitchens.
Go ahead, sir. I want to listen to that. I'm sipping on my cup.
I think there's so many questions that were there. And Freddie Kitchens was very good with Baker Mayfield as part of the offensive team. But the Browns thought he could make that step and take over the team overall. And I think that was a major miscue on their part because Baker Mayfield was playing with guys that maybe not have been on the same level as the talent that they have right now. It's Jarvis Landry and then, of course, OBJ, Beckham. And you had almost probably the guy that would have been the leading rusher had not Derrick Henry went crazy and the running back there. So a lot of talent, and I think it might have been too much for Freddie Kitchens. And I think they should have went another way. Somebody at least had an idea how to deal with talent. And somebody that, not only that, but had some head coaching experience. Because to me, he was Freddie Kitchens was a fish out of water. I mean, people were doing things they said in the locker room. There wasn't a lot of respect there. And you had to have a climate like that. And I don't think he's a bad guy. Kitchens could be one heck of a coordinator. But, you know, I think it also, considering the fact that he was not able to spend a lot of time with Baker Mayfield, it affected him because they gave Baker Mayfield a lot of credit for what he did to help the team win so many games. But then the talent level, in my opinion, rose on that team. And as a quarterback, you have to be able to adjust to the talent that you play with. And maybe you can say your offensive coordinator didn't help you there, the line didn't block like they used to. But when you have that kind of talent as a quarterback, if you're going to receive all of the credit just due for being the so-called savior, the mini savior in Cleveland the previous year before, you have to be able to step it up when the big boys come to play, when all pro players come to play, and better talent comes to play. You have to be able to get that done. And he wasn't able to do that. He made some very funny commercials, but that's neither here nor there.
Sir Cleveland Wright, because they fired a coach that they thought couldn't get it done, and then they brought in Kitchen, and he was, and I said this early in the season, he was way in over his head. He had so much talent, and he couldn't win. He couldn't figure out, he was undisciplined, and his team showed it. And I kept pointing that out throughout the season, that you got a quarterback who, if he held the ball, if you rushed him and he held the ball less than 3 seconds, he was doomed. He was going to throw an interception or do something disastrous. You had a receiver there. When everybody was praising Cleveland for getting Odell Beckham, I'm like, well, is this a Super Bowl receiver? Because he didn't do jack when he was with the Giants. And I thought the Giants should have got rid of him a couple years before they got rid of him. And so that really bothered me about, you know, you got a great defensive guy with Miles. You were bringing in different players. You had the draft picks to bring all this talent together, but you didn't have a coach or what I call a chef that could put the ingredients together and come out with a great tasting meal. It just sucked. And Cleveland, again, They have another coach. I don't think things are going to be different with this particular coach because the chemistry, it seems like the chemistry is off. They couldn't get out of each other's way. And you got a quarterback who thinks he's better than he is. You got a receiver who I thought he was going to have a episode like he was with the Giants, but really nobody cares when you're in Cleveland. And so this was the team that was supposed to go to the Super Bowl. The odds had them going to the Super Bowl, and they were going to be the favorites, and they couldn't even make the playoffs. I predicted at the beginning of the season, I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs, and they're not going to win their division. And Baltimore came and blew everybody out the water in that division, including the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were decimated by injuries and still was over Cleveland, despite not having talent and being injured all the year. So good for Cleveland. Maybe this is a lesson to learn. I don't know if this next coach is going to be the coach that they need to take them over the hump, but we'll be at this again next season. I'm going to go to boxing with this one. The Errol Spence saga was great when he was able to beat, I think, Danny Garcia earlier this year and fight this year. And then he was in an accident with a possible DUI accident. And my thing, Ice, with this is that Errol Spence has been one of my favorite fighters ever since I saw him early in his career. But to me, it's almost like this injury and coming back from this injury and this accident, I don't know. I got to see if he could be the same fighter or even better than he was. What's your thoughts about the Errol Spence saga?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Only time will tell whether or not he is able to come back. I do think that it puts some things in perspective, according to him, that the messing around and maybe taking a lot of risk and chances and not living in the moment, I think that has really affected him that way, because now he's saying that he wants to fight everybody. So, you know, you never know when a rush with death, because the way they're saying it is, he didn't have a seatbelt on, right?
Right.
And this car flipped over, and he was ejected. And usually that often means that means death, bro. So many different times, the accident, that means death. And he said that he was able to survive. And I think he really knew hopefully he understood how close he was to perhaps death. And so with that being said, I think that he sees it now. Heck of a guy, but you know, sometimes young people, they think they're invincible. And I think after he defeated Sean Porter and received the respect that he did, he's like, shoot, man, there's nothing I can't do. Let me see how fast I can go in this car. And he was drinking. It happens. Young people do sometimes silly things. But I hope this is going to move forward because, not to jump too much into boxing, but Ken Crawford is like, he told his people, Bob Arum and them, he wants to fight with Errol Spence Jr. He wanted it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Texted him. He said, pick up your phone. I'm calling you. That's a Manny Pacquiao Mayweather type thing. We're going to handle this ourselves. He said, pick up your phone, I'm calling you. And they had a discussion, so we might be able to see that fight sometime in the near future. So that would be quite interesting. So, yeah, I think young people, the lessons they should learn from this is you just never know. And not take too many chances, because you shouldn't risk your life because you think you're invincible. No one is.
Yeah. Two scoring updates. Georgetown beat number 25 Creighton, and Kentucky just lost. The hits keep coming, bro. The hits keep coming. I think Kentucky lost against South Carolina. The hits keep coming. You got another question? If you don't, I have another topic that in 2019 that stood out for me.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
The other topic that stood out for me, and then we'll get to you after this one, was the Kaepernick saga. The NFL invited Kaepernick to try out for NFL teams, and we found out that was a sham. And Kaepernick pulled a slick one and decided to have a showing with cameras and to be transparent about his abilities to be in the NFL. And I was talking to some people about this earlier today, and if Kaepernick never plays on another NFL team, I'd be good with that because he's much bigger than football in the NFL, and this is a man who stood for what he believed in. And even the folks that I was talking to said that they were disappointed in the NFL players, not with the NFL, because the NFL is a good old boy league, but the NFL players, which maybe 70 to 75% of African-American representation in this league, that did not stick their neck out for this particular gentleman. So I'm happy that he's continued his protest and standing up for people who can't speak for themselves and has a lucrative career with Nike. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that the latest venture or the latest attempt for a tryout between the NFL and Kaepernick was a chess move for both parties. I really do. I mean, he felt some kind of way because he thought about the language and the agreement. But I also think that I'm not sure if he ever really planned to, even if things were right, to step up in front of and play for to show the NFL what he could do, because he wanted the media there. And the media, there's so many things. I think they both came in wanting to kind of appear as if they were trying to work this out. But in the end, I think they both had their own agendas, and it worked for them. See, it's like more or less, see, he don't want, he want it. That's what the NFL said. And he's like, well, see, they didn't let me do this. They won't let me do that. So I don't really know. I mean, he wanted to show you that he could still play. He could still have the skill set to play in the league. But in my opinion, I think that they both kind of, at the end of the day, the way it went, because he had to decide. He couldn't just at the last minute decide this. It takes time to know that you're going to switch it up, even if it's a couple of days, because you have to have things in plan, in motion. So it worked out the way that it did. I do agree with you. I think we've said that for quite some time. I've always said that the players, the African-American players, a lot of them did not totally come out and support him because they didn't want to lose their money or risk their neck. So I understand that part, too. And they have a right to about their livelihood. But again, I've always said from the beginning, if five of the top African-American players had stayed out and not played and strike for 2 weeks, I think Kaepernick would be back in the league and they would have moved on, because they would have forced the ownership to come and recognize their demands. Because now you're affecting fantasy football. You're affecting advertising dollars. You're affecting fans coming to the game. Whether or not if Russell Wilson doesn't play, not saying he would have set out, but somebody of a caliber like that or even a higher caliber doesn't play, it affects whether or not people are coming to the games and so many other things, whether or not people tune in, knowing that these guys are sitting out. It's a lot going on. I think that NFL players, the African-American players did what they did. That's why I mentioned before it was divide and conquer. They divided the group, and they conquered them. And Kaepernick still was on the outside looking in.
You know what bothered me the most about this whole situation? It was towards the end where Jay-Z has a job with the NFL and Kaepernick doesn't. Jay-Z, I don't even know if he can throw a football. I'm going to keep it clean. I don't even know if he can throw a football. I don't even know if he knows how to even play football or the strategy behind it. But he has a job with the NFL. He has a job with the NFL. And Kaepernick, who this is what he was playing for, this is what his livelihood was, doesn't. That's what really kind of bothered me. And before this, I was a big Jay-Z fan. After this, I don't even listen to his music anymore, because you know, your views about looking out for everybody and bringing everybody together and blackness and all that stuff, please save it. I don't want to hear it. You sold out the brother who was really kind of the voice of a people that was really hurting, and it showed me that Jay-Z, you may have forgot what Brooklyn was like and how hard it was and how hard it is out there for the average working man or the average brother in the street. That really bothered me. Okay, you got another one?
Oh, yo, can I elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure can.
Okay. I see your point. I will say this, that, you know, love him or hate him, I think that Jay-Z knew that the NFL did not want to be seen as that party, or they would not be considered racist or anything like that. So, therefore, in order to try to bridge the gap, they wanted somebody that was connected with the African-American community, or so they say. They wanted to provide that appearance. And I'm not saying it was above board and it was the best thing to do, but in this world of capitalism, man, you know how people take advantage of things. And the one thing that they really bothered them with the NFL, I think, is they know how important that their halftime show is at the Super Bowl. And I think that's the big misnomer, as you mentioned before, about Kaepernick not being in the league. It came all the way down about the money, because you can't keep putting out here washed up, no disrespect, rockers out here when people really know what they want to see. They're tired of watching Justin Timberlake try to emulate what people are really turning to see, the top artists. And more than anything, Jay-Z was a bridge to that. And he took full advantage. It's horrible, and I get what you're saying. But he probably said they're going to pay somebody. And without him, none of the other artists would even consider it. One person I will say that I do give them kudos to this artist, because she said even though Jay-Z was helping out, I don't think she would still consider doing it. And they've been wanting her for a long time, and that's Rihanna. So kudos
to
her.
Yeah, I got mad respect for her. Mad respect for Rihanna.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of players in the game. But, my problem with this is this so much reminds me of Kurt Flood in baseball, man.
Yes.
It just does. It just does. And nobody's really seeing it that way. And everybody wants to say, oh, yeah, we're supporting him. But he's out there by himself. I'm glad he's getting paid. But let's keep it real, man. He's still out there by himself.
Yeah. Got mad respect for Rihanna. And what you just described, what Jay-Z did, is an Uncle Tom-ish move. That's basically what it is. Instead of standing up with the brother, saying, well, somebody going to get the money, I'll take it, sir. And he did. And so that's why he can't come to me with black unity and all this other stuff. He can't. I can't listen to all that. That's like listening to Kanye talk about religion. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't do it anymore. All right. So you got another one?
I think we should talk about that. We got some boxing coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Let's take a quick break. And we'll talk some boxing. We'll talk some NCAA basketball. And then I want to, I know in our questions from the Goons, I want to get on about Odell Beckham giving out money after LSU won the national championship. We'll get to that right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Do it, man.
Sports Radio Podcast. I since we last been on the air, they have legalized marijuana in Illinois. Oh, boy. One shop got robbed for $100,000. So, but they've been making anywhere, I think in the last 12 days, I think they made like $20 million. So it is big business here in Chicago. Hence the song, Mary Jane. by Rick James. All right, man. Let's get into some boxing and some MMA, man. You got McGregor against versus Cowboy on Saturday. Who you got? Ice?
Sorry, man. Got a new phone, brother. Excuse me.
No problem.
All right. I think the Cowboy, Don Cerrone, is a top-notch guy, and he's very talented. But McGregor said in this last fight he was doing a lot of things he shouldn't have been doing. He was drinking alcohol during training camp, eating, and didn't take it real serious. And I think any time that he comes back strong, he's that talented that he's going to be ready this time. And I think I'm going to have to roll with McGregor. Because as much as a pain in the butt he can be, you know, I think he's going to come back strong.
You don't think the refs will get to him? Because he's been out the ring for a while.
Yeah, but he's a fighter, man. It's like Nate Diaz wasn't in the ring for 3 years. He came in and handled the business. So, you know, and I think guys like that are talent overwhelmed. I mean, when you fight another guy, then that's just as talented, it might be difficult. But I think the Cowboys seem, he's out of his prime a little bit. And I think that's just more that seemed like a tune up. Because we know what, I can't think of the guy's name, Nasheski, whatever, the guy that beat Diaz, that's the fight people want to see now. So I think this is a tune-up for McGregor to do that. And McGregor coach to talk is also talking about possibly wanting to box again against Floyd, a rematch. So he's all about the money. He's all about the money. He doesn't want to see the other guy that beat him before. That might be a bit much. But McGregor's not crazy. Once he comes back, people want to see him. So I think that's why I consider him the favorite to win versus the Cowboy, because he has a lot more plans down the line. Plus, two, there's always that trilogy with Nate Diaz that's always going to be in his back pocket. So he has a lot to look forward to, and especially when he gets his money back on track. So I don't think he plans on losing.
Yeah, I can't call this one because I'm wondering if the ring rust or the octagon rust will get to McGregor. I know he's a fighter, and he'll put up a good fight, but you got Cowboy who's been there. They say he's a slow starter, but he's talking about I'm jumping on this guy as soon as we get in the ring, so that he can't get the momentum up. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing this fight and seeing how it goes. And if McGregor still has it, he's been out the ring for a long time. I understand he was dealing with issues with eating and drinking and all that other stuff. But can you turn it on and off? And with a guy who's still in the training and still fighting, it'll just be interesting to see. Now, I know you want to talk some boxing because you had your girl who won, I think, a couple of weekends ago or last weekend. We were back and forth texting. And so I'll let you kind of go with that as far as what do you think about your girl? I forget. I think her name is Shields. What do you think about her performance?
Well, Clarissa Shields is says she's the greatest woman of all time. Not sure about all that. But she came with her performance. She did just enough to win. And I know you had mentioned the fact that she really didn't impress you. But see, my problem with this is I think, unfortunately, in the women's division, boxing, that there's not enough talented individuals for her to face. And that's why she's even considering moving over to MMA to try to really fight people that maybe give her a challenge. And I think that might be for a money grab. But when you don't have that talent to go out to challenge you, then you win by default. Because an opponent that's not really good can make you look bad, too. I mean, after a while, people start grabbing you and whatnot. But I don't know what's going to happen there. It's really unfortunate. But she did what she had to do to win. Wasn't pretty. She didn't knock her out, but she won. I would really like to see her. She knows the MMA. come on over and fight my girl. She'd already called her out, Amanda Nunes. The young Lion is down Cyborg.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lion is going to play, baby. Look, she don't care how big you are, either. She would, you step in with the Lioness. it's a bad lady, man. So I don't know, but yeah, but that's what it is with Clarissa Shields. We'll see. But like I said, I think the talent, the lack of talent in those divisions and in women's boxing, it just kind of does a disservice to her. Really to get to see if she is as great or as good as she claims to be.
Yeah, because I kept wondering when I was watching the fight and all these titles that she won, who she beat to get these titles? It's like it's not the competition is not just not out there. For me, it's like she's not technically sound to be the boxer that or the greatest women's boxer. She doesn't have a lot of power in her punch. She is fast, but she doesn't have a lot of power in her punch. And I think it would be a big mistake for her to move up to MMA because you got folks that can kick, you got folks that know different martial arts. That could deceive you out there, and the ground game. I don't think that, you know, being a boxer, that she could develop a ground game to even compete with some of the young ladies in MMA. I you know, that takes a while to really develop. And if she doesn't have it, she'll be right back in boxing in no time, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, there's a reach. It's a major reach because two different disciplines. And as you mentioned, there's other things to it. So her to go over there, if she does, she should fight somebody maybe like she – that may not be as tough. But if she crosses that bridge and starts to mess around with Amanda Nunes, she might get a little surprise because that young lady has lightning in her hands. And I watched the Cyborg fight, and she wasted no time.
No.
Those hands on
her. They don't play.
And she's real big, Cyborg was. And, of course, Shields would be a lot bigger than her. But the hands don't lie. The hands. and those Shields is definitely a boxer. But Nunes has power and lightning in those hands. And once she gets that 1-2, she catches you. And I think Shields would be at a disadvantage because of the other parts of the discipline that you could be kicked, she could be thrown to the ground. I think she'd be like a fish out of water, out of her element, particularly with a championship, titleist like a Nunes. Nunes is taking on all comers. Holly Holm, I mean, whatever. Reacher's daughter, she fought everybody.
Yeah, and some of those ladies, you think they're small and they're not powerful. They have technique that, I mean, you could take men boxers and put them against some of those MMA young ladies, and they'll tear them apart. They'll tear them apart, especially if they can do a ground game or jiu-jitsu or do the Muay Thai movements or Wing Chun movements. It's endless how you can really kind of beat opponents. Using some martial arts, different weaponry that could outfox a boxer, a straight up boxer, if they don't have ground game and they haven't developed their technique in wrestling and things of that sort. It's just easy work for them. That's why you have Floyd Mayweather. You're gonna fight under boxing rules because I can't fight MMA rules, and so it's a different animal in MMA, which will probably. To me, Ice, if she does that and she lose really, really bad, or if any boxer does that and you lose really bad in MMA, that's just another feather in the cap for MMA as the more sexier sport than boxing. Dare I say it, but yeah, because we saw that last year. That was another event last year where the Canelo fight was held up because of a fight, MMA fight. So, you know. The writing's on the wall when it comes to that. So I wouldn't advise any boxer to try to step over to MMA right now. MMA is just too hot right now. And I don't think a boxer, even though they're superior in skills in boxing, I don't think they can deal with some of the skills that some of these folks have in their weaponry in MMA. That's just my opinion. Are there any other boxing matches that you want to talk about, past or future, that you want to see coming up, or past that you want to talk about?
Well, we got something coming up in February. Your favorite, Deontay Wilder.
See, you want to argue over this.
No,
didn't we argue about this last year?
No, I'm just saying that it is the rematch. And, the rematch is coming in February. That's all I'm saying. The rematch is coming up. And, yeah.
I was watching Wilder, and I was listening to him, how he says that, okay, Fury has changed his management. He changed this. If I lost, why he's making all these changes? I think that people are putting in Wilder's head that, yeah, you lost that fight. It wasn't a draw. You lost that fight, and the knockdown saved you. Do you think it's possible that draw and what, you know, some of the boxing folks are saying that, hey, Wilder, you actually lost that fight to Fury, has gotten into Wilder's head?
If it has gotten into his head, it's the fact that he wants to leave no doubt what should have happened the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what that is. I think that if anything got to his head, I'm sure he listened to it, he understood it, and it probably frustrated him. But I think he wants to come out and show you that, you know, this man has no chance with me. And I think that's why he took the chance to fight when he fought Ortiz again.
Yeah.
You know, when he fought Ortiz again, they kind of put all the rumors to rest. I think that's what that was, because everybody knows they want to see him versus a Joshua. And that's the big fight everybody wants to see. So if he gets that rid of it, the funny thing is, though, that it lets you know where you wonder where people are at in their thinking, that that Joshua had offered to spar with Fury to get him ready for Wilder.
Wow.
Okay, how bizarre is that? Yeah. And now they're talking stuff like, I wouldn't do it. But back then they were talking about it. Like, I would love to help him train for Wilder. Because then thinking, if he wins, then he's going to give me a shot. So, yeah. So how desperate is
that? So it sounds like it's a conspiracy against Wilder.
Okay, you know, they're coming for him. But like I said, until you take him down. Like he said, you want to make sure the linear champion, he's the only belt I see he has is the one that's on his waist. Touche.
So, 2020, who do you want to see fight? Who has the best chances that can realistically fight in 2020? So a deal can be made.
Ooh.
Big fight. I'm talking about pay-per-view. Everybody got to see the fight.
Sean Porter and Crawford, for sure.
Okay.
Sean Porter, Crawford. What else? Sean Porter, Crawford. Joshua.
Josh. Okay.
And Wilder. Yeah, Joshua Wilder.
Okay.
That might not happen until later. Lomachenko and Gervonta Davis.
Nice.
And Lomachenko and because now they're saying that Lomachenko is possibly thinking about coming back down. So him versus that,
mm-hmm.
or Lomachenko versus Leo Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah, Leo Santa Cruz. It won't happen. It won't happen because he's not going to do it. But it needs to happen. Canelo versus Demetrius Andre or Charlo.
Okay.
Yeah, those are ones that I think immediately should be coming up and we should be looking at, because, ooh, I'm telling you, that would be those are ones that you really want to see. And you want to see or let me see. Let me throw what else can I throw out at you. It may not happen right away. But, wow, I tell you what I love to see, but he's too big for him. I would love to see Lomachenko and our young brother from New Jersey, the one you said looks like me.
Shakur.
Yes. I would love to see
Shakur.
That. Shakur versus he's probably too big because he's fighting a junior. He's fighting a welterweight. But Shakur versus Lomachenko. And one
Lomachenko?
Last one, I'm throwing out. Yes, yes, I love to see that. Yes, one other one I think that may come.
You think
out.
He ready? You think Shakur is ready? Is Lomachenko
man.
Savvy, man?
He is, but you know what? Why not? Let's roll. Let's roll, man. That's what he's built for this, right?
Right.
Built for this. Two other things I heard that there might be a chance that they're looking at it that Andre Ward could return.
Really?
Get back into the game. Yeah. Said there's he's been in shape and he's been thinking about it. He'll be 36, but he still has the drive and is in great shape. But maybe for one or two fights, that would be interesting. And I almost said one more and more reason why, just because it may not happen. But what the hell? If it doesn't happen in 2020, then we don't need to see it. Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
Oh, no, man. Jeez, no. Just put that to bed, man. Come on. Man. I don't want to see them two fights.
They're talking about showing you Triple G and Canelo again.
I don't want to see that either.
So you know what they should do? Here's what I would do. Just and put it on Fox. It never happened. You should have Triple
same
G
card.
Versus Canelo. A double card. Same top the share the card.
Mm-hmm.
Same night.
So like a semifinal, and then the winner fight each other?
No. You ain't got to do all that. Just one fight, the other one fight.
Okay.
Mayweather versus Pacquiao, and then Triple G versus Canelo. One more time.
That'd be a sad night of boxing, boy. I swear. That'd be a
it
sad
would.
Night. Watching Mayweather
come out
and
watch.
Not punching. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, they come and watch, though. People would come out.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Because I can't put my mind around that again, man. I really can't. Let's take a quick break. And I'll leave it up to you whether we talk some NBA basketball or we go to talk about stories from the reality of sports and the Goon Squad and questions. We'll be back. This is the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. That's your favorite line of the song. I didn't cut it off. Breezeway.
You should ask the people, do they know what the hell a breezeway is?
We're going to say that
question.
For the one. Let's say that for the one.
Yeah.
Let's say that for the one.
Right. That's going to be our first question.
That?
Do you know what when they said there's a funk in the breezeway? What the hell does that mean? Then you let me know you know
wow.
about the funk. Yeah. Dayton
That's
going to
be a fun show.
Representing
That's
going to
be
Dayton
a fun
Ohio.
Show. Wow. Your choice, bro. NBA basketball, or do we go with questions?
We can go questions. I mean, yeah, questions or even a couple of things from reality sports, whatever you want to do. Questions. Cause we've
okay.
We've done
first, let's talk about the reality of sports. Let's talk about the reality of sports first because I want to get that in and all the things you're doing there, man.
Yeah, just trying to keep it up. We're going to turn the corner in 2020. We're going to add more things from the Goon Squad. Goon Squad has a page on our website. So we're going to add a lot more the live content and the first 40. We're going to do that. Also, we're going to update some other things on there, too, with our boxing show. And just add more, better twist and updated more photos to kind of give you a resource of places you can go to for information. And we try to do that on the Facebook page to get you thinking about some different things. And one thing I'm going to say this very quickly because before we get out, we had a chance to talk about it. But two of the legendary wrestlers, man, passed away.
Yeah.
Pampera Furpo, man. El Garfio was like a claw. Did you put it on your head? And my cousin used to put that thing on me. Tear my head.
Mine too.
Oh, my God. El Garfio. Man. Big time wrestler, man. That. And then the legendary Rocky Johnson, man. The Rock's dad. Rocky Johnson was one of the first African American wrestlers I ever saw, man, in my life.
Right.
And I was connected with him. Along with the great Bobo Brazil, man. I saw Bobo Brazil fight when I was 5 years old, bro. Amazing. I was stuck ever since. But to lose these two great pioneers when they were true entertainers, man, I don't know what the hell these Cinderella stories are now, but from the days of people cutting their foreheads with razor blades, man, to entertain you.
All right.
Just great, all kind of stuff. Man, there was nothing like big time wrestling, bro. And both of those gentlemen will be missed.
Yeah, I think I saw one of my friends who were talking about it on Facebook that Rocky Johnson, their family, him and his family, used to stay in where Mark stays now, in a suburb of New Haven, and because they used to have the WWE roll through the New Haven Coliseum all the time. And I remember one summer when I was working out at the Power Gym, there would be a lot of wrestlers from the WWF and WWE coming through there. And, you know, you would talk to them and get pointers on lifting weights and wrestling and all that stuff. And sometimes if they had some tickets available, they would give you tickets to come to the show. So, wrestling is not the way what it used to be. Where these guys really kind of put in, not to say that they don't put in the time and effort now, but you saw some real blood and folks kind of sacrificing their bodies, their faces, and all type of things trying to make it make a living. So rest in peace to both of those guys. The first question I have is Odell Beckham handing out money after the national championship game, bro, what are your thoughts about this?
Pimping ain't easy. Anyway, no, I'm just Oh, man. I'll just say this. I think it was really over the top. You said the same thing about Joe Burrow and the fellas smoking cigars after they won in the facility. I don't want to say let boys be boys. I think it was pretty tough to do that. I think if you're going to do something like that, I would never say you should do anything like that because you might be affecting somebody's eligibility. But there's a time and a place for everything. And I think he could have waited until the cameras were gone or whatever it may be. That's what he wanted to do. So there was a lot. It kind of puts a bad light on sports, particularly when it's the negativity that is also associated with college sports anyway, and whether or not people are taking payments, and to have a former alumni and a former player come in and start passing out cash, it's like, is that legal? And then you just open up a can of worms. So, huh?
No, it's not legal.
No, right.
I'm pretty sure it's a violation.
No, it's not. Yeah, but I'm just saying my point of it is, I'm just saying that the way that it's set up like that, when you're putting them at risk, knowing that the way it comes out is what I'm saying. You know, that's what I'm saying. So you know that, I mean, he walks away. You know, the worst, they might slap him on the hand because he's an alumnus giving out money. But to do that in such plain view, not saying you should do it anyway, but it's not a good look. And he risks the eligibility of a lot of players. For those that are not coming back, they probably don't care. But I'm sure there were some guys that had eligibility remaining took that cash. If a man gives you $1,000, you're going to be like, no, I'm good. just a bad look.
My thing.
You should be smarter. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that tells me he's not that smart. He's not that smart of a man because I'm pretty sure alumni from different universities have done something for players. I mean, if I was an alumni from a university and, you know, and I know how college life is, you know, we went back to school, that student athletes need money. They need something. And so can you think of another way to do that and make sure that you're rewarding them or giving them something that is a violation, but do it in a way where it's not in front of the cameras and not – it seems like he wants the spotlight, and he does some of the dumbest things to put himself in the spotlight that makes him look really bad. I'm so glad he's not a New York Giant. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm glad New York is rid of that problem and that issue, and it's showboating. Why would you do that if those players had eligibility? And even if they didn't, now they got to answer questions during the draft. Now they got to answer questions about, you know, is there anything in your past that you got and received that, you know, has a chance to come back and bite you later? Because I believe that's not the first time that he's done that. He just didn't run around and just give money out to folks he didn't know. I'm pretty sure he had some kind of way of giving them money or, you know, he had a lot of time because he wasn't really playing in Cleveland. You know, that he did some things and, you know, jeopardizing, you know, these young men coming out of college. I thought that was the most dumbest and asinine thing that you could do as a football player. Now you call the question other things that other people have been doing. Your teammate in Cleveland, Landry, everybody else who played for that program, whether or not they've been doing, you open it up. It's now a public record that you've seen it on television. Now they're trying to say the money was fake, this, that, the other. It doesn't matter. It's bad optics. And when you bring that stuff to light, you kind of promote the idea that these college players, some of them are getting paid under the table. And there can be violations. Hell, they got one player, James Wiseman, who could not play because of violation. Now you think that's not going to touch the LSU football team? Just when you're winning the championship, and you got this over your head, or people are going to question that. It's a bad look. It just kind of it spoiled the night for me that he came in, and instead of letting these guys shine, he does something to most likely might jeopardize them in their future. Your question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you 100% on that. I just think that you know, it's just pretty sad as you move forward to see what's going on from such a sad standpoint. But he should have been careful. Anyway, there's just so many other ways you can do things, and if you're going to be that asinine and stupid. Anyway, my next question is the story about the Cleveland Cavaliers coach, John Beilein, you know, caught saying, slip of the tongue saying his team's no longer thugs, but instead of, he's meant to say slugs. But I think he doesn't understand that this word, the word thug, is has a painful and complicated history. And my problem with it, the way I saw it, was I was surprised that it took him so long to find out or think about what he had said. Somebody had to remind him. I know he's older, but, you know, that's kind of a slip of the tongue. You go, oh, I meant something else. So I find that ironic because I think he's catching a lot of flack, and I think he's also catching flack because they feel like there's more of a disconnect between he and the players now on this team.
Hmm. You know what? I heard the story. I saw a lot of outlets report the story, but to me, it wasn't a big deal. Whether it was a slip or he meant it, it wasn't a big deal for me. I just think the story got a lot of legs because they want him out of there. He's not kind of really coaching the way they want him to coach. And to me, I think when they made this move, it was a surprise move that Cleveland made. I didn't think this would work. I think he's better suited for college. And so we all kind of wondered, okay, how would he fare with the professional players who get paid and are working on their brand? They have other things that they deal with and that they're preoccupied with not just going to school and listening to a college coach, very successful college coach. But I didn't make too big of a deal of it because I don't think, seeing his track record, that he's doing, he would do something that would kind of literally just try to offend the players that are playing for him. And so maybe he's older, out of touch. He doesn't know the significance of the word. Maybe he slipped. Yeah, but I think the bottom line with this story, Ice, was they want him out of there. They want him out of there, and this is one of the incidents they could point to and say, hey, you did this, you did that, you did this, so it's not working out, and thank you very much.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Okay. Did you take offense to it when it came out? Because I know it played a lot in Ohio.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just thought it was something that I didn't really take offense to it, but I guess I was wondering, knowing what the situation is, him being considered to be out of touch, why they waited so late to handle it. You know what I mean? I mean, I know he said he had reached out to some players, but I just think it could have been somebody in the room like, hey, coach, before they left, like, hey, you said this, you should have changed it. Why do you let them leave the room thinking about what it was said, knowing that that was an issue? Somebody, his staff should have known that. Because the young people today are very temperamental. You could have handled it right then and there if you made the mistake. If you thought I said that, I really meant this. But then before it became an issue, like you said, before it became a story.
My response to when the story came out, I was like, these guys need to man up. Okay, I'm pretty sure they've been called worse. I know I've been called worse by coaches, and teams have been called worse by coaches. So man up. If that bothers you, you shouldn't even be in the league. If somebody says something and it bothers you that much, what are you doing in the league?
Yeah, we live in a different time, I think, though. Everything is everybody's so temperamental.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, last second shot, man.
Yeah, last second shot, real, very quickly. After the college semifinal game, Ohio State, Jeff Okuda, cornerback, penned a letter to his mom. And basically it was a letter presented to his mom who passed away when he was a freshman, talking about how he was going pro. But he just kind of gave the story how proud he was to be her son, and he was trying to do some great things, and he hoped that she was proud of him. It is one of the most touching pen letters I've ever read in my life, because considering where he came from. And he talked about how important Ohio State was in his life and what they meant to him, because his mom passed when he was a freshman in Columbus at Ohio State University, and how people mentored him, gravitated to him, you know, pulled him close, and just were there for him. And now he's moving on to greener pastures, but he just wanted to tell his mom that he hoped that he made her proud. Excellent letter. I recommend to read. Jeff Okuda.
Okay. All right. My last second shot goes out to the committee for the college playoffs. It took a few tries, but you really got it right this time. Usually every year I would say go to 8 games or 8 teams. I didn't say that this year because these were some great matchups, and hopefully you can create or come up with some great matchups in the future. So, no go to 8 teams. Stay at 4 teams. you did a great job, and I'm praising you for it because that was some good football played by those four colleges, universities in the playoffs. So that's our show for tonight. We will see you next week. Take care.